Beloved listeners, and welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. And you know, here at Advanced Living Radio, we have a theme that is, of course, simply put, to bring value to your life every week. And that comes from the answer to a prayer that I have every day. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, show me the best ways to have the most fun, inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Yes, so that is my guiding light. That's the prayer. And of course, I invite you, if you like, use that. And of course, because we're such creative creatures, make one up for yourself that just totally inspires you. And so here we are, getting ready for our show this week. And before we get started, wanted to take just a moment to invite you to learn about the sponsor of this program. It is an item. You plug it in, and my gosh, it changes the energy around you. It doesn't do anything you can't do with your own high consciousness if you get to that place, but it so helps on the way. We call it training wheels for your spiritual bicycle. And at the very practical level, it's a plug-in device to help mitigate the stress of our high-tech electric world. And it's called the Comfort Technology. It's a tongue-in-cheek called a Clark Kent clock with superpowers, because when you look at it, it looks like a stylish oval-shaped digital clock you'd see on a nightstand or a desk or in a travel bag. But when it's plugged in, oh my gosh, it's the beautiful harmonized energy that you would get if you were deeply meditating or had some loving friends over that were just meditating. Beautiful energy that mitigates the stress of the electric world and makes it easier to sleep and to think more clearly and connect to that inner beauty within you. So when you get a chance, go to a website called advancedlivingcomfort.com, and you will learn about this and see people like Reverend Michael Beckwith of the Agape Church, Jack Canfield, Harvard Medical Doctor Eva Selhub, just some wonderful folks who have found this to be a blessing to their lives. And now, talking about something that could be a blessing to our lives, this is perfect because it makes mention it's time to talk about our wonderful guest today. And isn't it interesting how the twists and turns in a person's life can lead them to a place of greater and greater joy? We know that doesn't always happen with some of the challenges and the adventures of life, but we're so blessed and privileged to have a guest today who has taken many different aspects of her life and turned it into this beautiful, beautiful offering to the world of wonderful pathway to what would be called a pathway to blissful living. And wow, it's just so exciting. And when you go to her website and see the sparkling smile, you go, oh my gosh, this person is feeling pretty darn good. And now to tell you who is this person, right? It is Satya Kaura. And for those of you in the biotech industry, you might have known her because she was a former CEO and she left the corporate world after 35 years of work in that arena. So very skilled as a businesswoman and rose to the heights of that industry and then left and founded this wonderful nonprofit called Path to Anandam. And it's an organization to help people explore their eternal happiness and peace within. And she is so popular, as known about her work for blissful living, which is another way to say the Anandam lifestyle. And she is a spiritual self-transformational coach, meditation expert, and an international speaker. Now, Satya has been exploring, unfolding, discovering herself through meditation for over 35 years. And she has been engaged in promoting awareness, the practice and application of spirituality in daily life, family, business, and community matters for over 20 years. Yes, the turning a part of her personal exploration into a passion for a long time and now a blessing to the lives of all those who get in contact with her and learn about her work. Now, the focus of her teachings is how to enhance the quality of life and experience blissfulness, joy, this Anandam within ourselves, and then we're able to reach more of our vast, unlimited potential by being in a place where we're feeling so much better, raising our consciousness comes so much easier. Now, she is the author of many spiritual articles and some books, for instance, My Questions and God's Answers on the Bhagavad Gita and Path to Anandam, a pocketbook series, and her latest release, Yoga Beyond Asana, the Complete Guide for a Blissful Life. And her website, Path to Anandam, P-A-T-H, TOANANDAM.org. So let's welcome our wonderful guest, Satya. Hello, Satya.
Namaste, and thank you very much for having me at your show.
I'm looking
forward to your listeners and also to the show.
Oh, I am just so delighted to have you with us. And would you, I gave a little bit, but I'm left out, I'm sure, many things that you would want to share. So would you share more where you're from, religious upbringing, different things that led you to this path of Anandam?
Actually, I am from India, and my bringing up was in a Hindu family, but more than a Hindu family, we were exposed, and my parents were so open-minded, they took us to different religions, places. Like in India, there are many practices are done and there are many different religions. As you know, India is a place which practice the true divinity.
Mm.
Because it's not just a divinity, but it's a diversity and divinity together there. So they find the divinity in diversity. So I was exposed to Muslim, Sikh, Hindu, Jain, all different kind of religion. And when I came to USA, then it was not a different for me to even go to churches and different places, because I always saw religion as a humanity, serving the humanity rather than practicing the rituals.
Mm, okay, that's important.
And I came to USA 42 years ago and went to school and got my advanced degree in sciences. And then I did my business courses, management, specializing in marketing from UC Berkeley, etc. And then opened our own business, or founded the companies in cancer arena, because I worked in cancer arena for about 35 years. So I am basically, by training, I'm a scientist, I'm a business person, and my specialty was cancer area.
Hmm. Wow.
So, and spirituality was from very childhood, I was practicing it. And when I came to USA 42 years ago, I kind of left it behind, I would say that, because when I came here, I had to deal with so many different challenges that God was just become, I used to pray to God all the time for helping me to pull through these challenges. So God became my helper. And later on, I found out the God which I was praying outside, and the higher conscious level, or whatever you want to name it, that energy which I was drawing it, that energy was within me. And when I found out that that was within me, that was a beautiful moment in my life. And but it took long time, like as you said, I was a CEO of the company. I founded the companies. I was a chairperson. And still, I felt there was something missing in me. I always looked for self-satisfaction through achieving my goals. And after achieving it, I kind of felt empty after that, because after that, so what now? What is next? And it kept going on and on. And finally, I realized whatever I'm looking for outside, it is within me. That self-satisfaction is within me. That guru is within me. That God is within me. All that energy, I start feeling it within myself. And that was the biggest change happened to me during those years.
Ah, so this was something that took place over a period of years to come to that.
Many, many years it took me. In fact, I used to get the messages from Supreme that I should, whatever I have learned, I should go and now distribute to the world. And what I had learned, how to be happy within myself. I literally transformed myself from an unhappy, unsatisfied, fearful, resentful person to forgiving, caring, loving, compassionate person.
Mm.
And when that change came to me, the divine help also came to me and asked me, now it is the time that I should go and give this message to others, because there are many people in the world need this, because many people are not blessed with what I have in my life. If I could not be happy with that such a high level of corporate world positions with good family, with three children, with beautiful house, with cars, everything I had in my life, and still there was something missing, then how about the people who do not have these things? Many people don't have a good relationship. They don't have good families. They don't have jobs, or financial needs are not met. And there are many different areas they are missing out in their life. So I have to go and give this message to them and tell them that, look, if I could do it, you could do it too. So I start becoming the motivator for others. And I really enjoyed it, and I'm so blessed that God has blessed me with that energy where I could feel it. And like when I write my books, I don't have to sit and write. I go into meditation and just get connected with Supreme, and then just download the information and I just put it together and just write it. So I feel so blessed that I have been chosen by Supreme to be his messenger and deliver this message to the world. So I'm really thankful to the God and also to you to allowing me to bring this message to the rest of the world.
Wow. Oh, boy. That is just so beautiful, Satya.
Thank you.
Because you combine something important of a solid grounding in the world, operating in our world of business in the capitalist system and being successful at that, and then going beyond that to the more completeness that comes from that spiritual seeking and the finding that beautiful place within yourself.
Thank you.
Now, I'm just wondering, this path to Anandam, would you help share a little bit about what does this Anandam or true happiness mean?
Path to Anandam and true happiness. The happiness which is not depending on the external factors. In other words, someday I might get a phone call and somebody, I get upset because somebody is angry with me. Or I am driving and somebody is coming in front of me and cutting me off and I get upset. Or it's too hot. Temperature is 100 plus. We had it a few days ago here. These external environmental things or relationships or financial or that I have a job or if I don't have it or the stock market is up or down, these factors do not affect my eternal happiness because whatever who I am, whatever I have, God has created me such a beautiful person and I am so happy about it. Mm. So the happiness which is not affected on external factors, that is the blissful state which one experiences, that is called Anandam, and that is called everlasting happiness, which is enriches with the peace and blissfulness in life.
Ah, that is wonderful. There's a song from some of the Sikh poets or the spiritual people in the Sikh tradition. There's a book called Peace Lagoon, and one of the writings in it speaks of this and in some slightly different terms, but it really, as you're talking, it connects me to that part of one of the poems says, the one who dies to this life while yet alive has achieved liberation in his lifetime. And it seems like that part that you're talking about with this true happiness is finding that inner place of joy separate from all of the external in the world, whether it's there, not there, a little bit, a lot, it comes and goes, but something else never changes inside.
And that's where in my one of my books, which is My Question and God's Answers, which is based on Bhagavad Gita, those are the foundations of the teaching in Bhagavad Gita.
Mm.
And Bhagavad Gita is the one which has changed the direction of my life and taught me so much that I'm really thankful to my gurus who had handed me that book and asked me to read that book.
Ah, wow.
So my foundation comes from Bhagavad Gita.
Mm. Yes, and that's the basis of, I guess, a lot of people follow that in India, and then people here in the United States. I know there's a Hare Krishna temple that I go to sometimes, and they study it there.
Actually, it has been followed by, it has been translated in all the languages. And this is one of the books which has been followed all over the world.
Mm.
And the teaching, because the teaching of that book are very non-religious, those are the secular teachings. In the whole book, there is no such thing as Hindu, or there is not even a name over there, Hindu. It just talks about humanity and how to uplift the person when he's very depressed. It's a beautiful story behind it. It's two friends, one for Arjuna, and another happens to be Lord Krishna, but Arjuna did not know it was his friend was supreme. And when Arjuna went into depression, Lord Krishna uplifted him and showed him the way how to fulfill the responsibilities of his life, how to have a higher vision and not be just bogged down with his family issues, which could tarnish his image or which could tarnish his thinking, but how to be a mentor to the world and set an example in such a way. So he uplifted him when he was so depressed, all the way where he at the end, he said, I will do as you guide.
Mm. Wow.
So Bhagavad Gita is my foundation for all of my teachings.
Ah, this is wonderful. And then I'm guessing some of that led into the book that you wrote, Yoga Beyond Asana.
Yes, and I wanted to tell you and your readers also that yesterday the book Yoga Beyond Asana became the bestseller on Amazon.com.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And actually, I want to tell you a little bit why I wrote this book, so then I can relate to Bhagavad Gita also.
Sure.
Because I had gone to attending some yoga classes myself. And when I was attending those classes, and the teacher used to get mad, not just on me, but many other students, because everybody was not good enough, good to bend and touch their toes and be as flexible as yoga teacher herself was. And she used to get very upset, and she used to actually yell at all of us. And I used to come up and kind of feeling depressed, and I thought, if that's what the yoga is all about, just your physical bending and touching your toes. And then I start reading Gita, Bhagavad Gita, which is also known as Gita. So I was reading Gita, and in Gita, it has 18 chapters, and every chapter is named as yoga. And I said, this yoga is different than the yoga which I was learning. And so there, the very first chapter in Bhagavad Gita was yoga of despondency, means yoga of sorrow. When Arjuna was very depressed, and that's the time he said he wanted to run away from the world because he could not face the family feuds. And he wanted to go to Himalayas or jungles and just do meditation. And his friend, Krishna, Lord Krishna, told him, no, you are born for some purpose on the earth, and you have to fulfill your responsibilities, which you will not be able to do it by running away. And if you think you can do the meditation on the top of the Himalayas, you will not be, because you, whatever you are carrying inside will haunt you over there as well. Because whatever you have it inside, that's what you are going to live with, those feelings. And you will feel so unsatisfied, and you feel like a traitor. So you're supposed to fulfill your responsibilities, and your salvation is by fulfilling your responsibilities, because that's why God has brought you on this earth. And he takes him in a beautiful spiritual journey, step by step, through all the 18 chapters. So first six chapters focus on karma yoga, means yoga of action. How should we perform our responsibilities, our actions, to not just uplift ourselves, but uplift our family, uplift our society, and whole world. So then this creation, this universe becomes a better place to live. And how we do it? We do it through the selfless service. So we do the actions and fulfill our responsibilities with love and compassion, not because I have to do it, not as a burden, but do it with cheerful faith and feel so grateful to God that you got an opportunity to serve this world. So whatever you do in your life, even you are working for your family, be thankful that God has given you good health, so you can work and bring the food in the family and take care of your mortgage. And you should be thankful to God for giving you a job and giving you good physical health and family to serve. How many people have good health to serve? How many people have good families to serve? So you should be happy about it rather than having some grudges that why me and why am I doing it. So that was, when I learned that, I said, this is a beautiful yoga. I love this yoga. Yoga is not just sitting and bending backward, but there is yoga. What does yoga actually mean? Yoga means union with yourself, your eternal happiness, who you are. And once you find that, then you go and share with the rest of the world and make this world a beautiful place to live. And this is how you raise your conscious level as well. So that's what yoga, Bhagavad Gita had taught me, and that was one of the yoga. Then Bhagavad Gita has another yoga, which is called love and devotion, which means you love all and serve all. Do not discriminate between your sibling, your son or daughter, or one brother and one sister, or one community versus other community, like I'm a Christian, I'm Hindu. No, we are all one. There is no difference between Muslims or Hindus or Christians or Mohammedans or you name it. We are all one. We all came from the one source. And that's what Bhagavad Gita teaches. And how we get it? We go through meditation. We do through some spiritual practices. And so it has 18 chapters, and each chapter takes you closer and closer to yourself, means closer to divine, or closer to that supreme power, or you can call it God, whatever you want to name it. But that's what the teachings of Bhagavad Gita are. And that's where the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita led me to write this book, Yoga Beyond Asana. Because I went to so many yoga conferences, and 2 years ago when I was in India for Yoga International Festival, which is about us, it's right on the bank of Ganges.
Okay.
And about 700 to 800 people, international people, come there every year. And the focus of the conference or the focus of the people would be, again, the better you can bend, the better yoga practitioners you are. And I felt like that they are really missing out the beautiful message of yoga. Yoga means go within, unite yourself, and every spiritual practice which takes you there is also called yoga. Yoga, actually, that term of yoga is taken two ways. One is the Sanskrit word, yoga means union, connection with yourself and supreme. And the other meaning is yoga means path to yoga, like karma yoga, means action that takes you to yoga, devotion that or love that takes you to yoga, meditation that takes you to yoga. So all these practices which help you to unite yourself, that's what the yoga means. When I was in the conference, then I kind of thought I should do something about it. So following year, when I was going to give my workshop over there, and I thought, what should be the topic? And I was meditating. And then the message came to me that my subject of the talk and the seminar and the workshop should be yoga offers much more than physical exercises. In other words, yoga is not just limited to physical poses and postures.
Right.
So that was, I was going to talk about it, and I was during the preparation, I was doing my meditation, and all of a sudden the message came to me, I should write a book about it. And that's where I start writing the book, and I went into deep meditation, because all of my books are, as I said, written during meditation. So I had to go to deep meditation to get connected with the Supreme, with the higher self, and download that information and then write it. So I finished that book. I wrote it in 2 weeks. It took me 1 week to arrange for the printer and setting up the book, editing, etc. And then it took me about a week and a half to get it printed. And in 4 weeks, I had the book. And I had a book in 4 weeks, which is totally unbelievable. Already printed and already launched.
Wow.
On March 1st, 2012.
Now there's a testimony of the power that comes from connecting to spirit.
Yep.
That's beautiful.
And if you look at the testimonials on Amazon.com, there are 30 beautiful testimonials from very top-notch speakers in USA.
Ah, this is good. Wow. I can imagine, because here you are practicing the teachings and having that practice show up as not only you feeling happy, but from that place bringing productivity to the world of a book, of your website, your teachings?
Like, I can give you an example. Like, Tracy Rupchak, she's one of the very well-known international speakers, and also from USA. She wrote that this 30 days planner in the book, because this book has, basically this book is very simple. It is a 30 days spiritual journey with the daily spiritual planner on the back of the book. And she says that is the one which really put her on track. And she says she recommends this book to anyone wanting more from their yoga.
Mm.
There is a Sean Duperron. There is Teresa, which is she's the founder of Evolutionary Business Council. I mean, I can name you. If you look at it, there are 30. I mean, Debra Foneman. I mean, there are so many people have given such a good endorsement to this book. And I can tell you one thing. Yesterday, I was meditating, and during the meditation, the voice kept coming to me, go on Amazon, look at your book, Yoga Beyond Asana. And I'm doing a meditation. And I said, why should I go and get up and do that? Why? I was resisting and not wanted to get up from from my meditation. But I could not sit because there was so much energy there. It was pushing me. So I went, I interrupted my meditation, and I went on my laptop on Amazon.com and looked at my book. And I was shocked. My book was a bestseller.
Mm.
I even didn't know that's what it meant. So I asked somebody. I sent the email. I said, this is what it's saying on my book. And they said, oh, my God, you are the bestseller. This book is the bestseller. Amazon.
Oh, it's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's lets you know that people find value here, that it's helping them. And they're telling others, this is important. And I'm wondering in Gita, what is there that helps to move you ahead with your work? Because now you see, okay, I listened to Spirit, I meditated, I write this book, it's very popular. And how do you keep from thinking, oh my gosh, I am so wonderful, versus the divine in me is so wonderful?
Actually, you know, when I meditate, my meditation comes as that I lose my body, so I am not a body anymore. I am divine. So when I'm saying I am, it means not me, because I am the messenger of this divine, and the messenger is guiding me to what I do. So whole day I'm walking around looking, and I'm so connected, and whatever message I get, I say, okay, so now divine is telling me this. I should do it, divine. So I basically do not feel that I am Satya Kalra. I feel like I am divine myself, and whatever I am doing, I'm just being guided. So this body doesn't belong to me anymore. This is not my body anymore. This is divine, filled with the divine energy. And I listen to the messages all the time. And that's where the message comes to me. Like this morning I was sitting and it says, yoga is not just for limited to physical exercises. It is not just for bending and touching. It's not just for the spiritual people, because sometimes people ask me, is yoga a religion? Is it a Hindu religion? And I say, no. It is whoever has the physical body, that physical body needs to be maintained. And whoever has the mind in the body, that mind has to come to the peacefulness. So the body has to be healthy. The mind has to be peaceful. And then it has to be connected. So yoga offers not just these, but it offers all the above and much more. So what yoga offers me? It makes me calm. It basically totally connects me. Yoga means, again, it's total connection. And I feel like I'm a yogi. I am the divine. And I'm just practicing whatever is coming from the top. When I say top, means from divine, from supreme, from this pure energy, infinite energy, or cosmic universal, cosmic energy. Whatever it comes, that's what this person is. This person this name has no meaning. And actually the name of my meaning is also very beautiful. The Satya means the ultimate truth. So my name itself is divine. That is a true yoga. That's what the meaning of my name is. Which I didn't know that, but that's what my meaning of my name is. That is the ultimate truth, universal truth.
And is that, you're talking about your first name, the Satya?
My first name.
Okay.
So I don't even feel that this is me. I am just a small drop of that universal cosmic energy. And this energy is just, I'm like a puppet. This puppet is being utilized or played by the higher energy. And when I am connected with it, then this puppet is not a puppet anymore. It is divine itself.
Yes. Wow. And I'm wondering, Satya, I have never had the privilege to watch you practicing yoga. Have you ever done some yoga and had that videotaped?
Actually, I do yoga every day because on my daily spiritual planner, on the back of the book, I have a whole day planning. And I start first thing in the morning with my prayers, like as you did. I have my prayers as well. And I do my prayers. And then I do my mantra. I have a mantra, Om mantra, so I do that three times or whatever, because I basically connect myself through my breath and through my mantra, and then I do my yoga practice, my physical exercises, which is, and my physical exercises are not just bending and stretching, but, and I do not work through the muscles, I work through my breath. So my bending is through my breath. My movement of my body is through breath. So if I'm bending, the more I can breathe out, the more my body will be able to bend. So my breathing exercise, my breath is the one which takes my body to bending, touching my toes, and practicing whatever I do. That breath also brings the awareness in me. So I do that 20 minutes to 1 hour exercise practices. Then I also do these breathing exercises, which bring more awareness and also bring the cleansingness in my system, which also takes the toxins out of my system. So I breathe out my toxins from my body and breathe out my carbon dioxide and then inhale more oxygen. And by doing that, my body cultivates and manifest more endorphins in the system. And toxins is like a medical term. We all know that it's like a poison to the body. And the endorphins is a nectar to the body. It heals, it nurtures, it brings the happiness. And like people go on drugs, you know, and they kind of feel very high. This is how I feel by doing all these practices. And people ask me, why do you smile all the time? And sometimes people thought maybe I drink or something. And since when I dance, I mean, I could dance for 8 hours without stopping. And people think maybe I'm on drunk or maybe on some kind of drug. That's why I don't feel it. And I say, no, I manufacture this wine and drugs within myself, in my body, which is called endorphins, and it comes from all this positive energy, positive thinking, forgiving, more patience, more all these virtues I have developed and made me a better and better messenger of this divine and better human being to work with others. And I'm always happy. And that happiness gives me that nectar in my body.
Wow.
And so when I write my books, I mean, I totally go into silence. Not only that I go to silence, but I am totally focused on my breath, my awareness, my connection, and I would eat only certain food which will not interrupt my connection. In other words, I would not take various spices, and of course, I'm a vegetarian, so I will not take meat or eggs or any negative thing like meat and could bring negativity in my system, because when you cut the animal, you know, then animal is going, goes through the stress and all, fearfulness, and that brings a negative energy. So I do not put anything in my body which is affiliated with any kind of negativity. So even when I eat my food, I pray to my food. When I cook my food, I cook, pray to. And that's what is all in that book. It talks about what kind of food we should be eating, what kind of pure, how should we be speaking to other people. The whole book is basically how to practice the yoga off the mat. So this journey is not just like going from home to yoga studio and then come back and then practice exercises, etc. No, this is a beautiful journey where you go within yourself and cultivate and manufacture or manifest that energy, that aura, that pure cosmic energy, that blissful state, and then you go and spread it to others and give it to others. And you just become like a walking, blissful, divine body.
Well, to me, that's worth doing. This is wonderful. And then your book, to me, something simple, Yoga Beyond Asana, I think is so helpful because 20 million people or so in the United States are getting into yoga, which is important for certainly physical conditioning and stretching. Yet what I'm seeing in some of the yoga classes is people so focused on yoga as it would be a physical performance. Who can bend the most, who has the most strength, all of these things, versus who is the happiest, whatever amount of postures they're able to do.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And that asanas are, the postures are important. It gives you flexibility. It gives you strength to your muscles. And actually, that is the third step. There are eight steps by Ashtanga Yoga, or it's called Patanjali's Yoga, and by Bhagavad Gita. These are the eight steps to yoga. And the number one step, I mean, how to live off the mat. So the number, actually, that is also called Raj Yoga. So the number one step, or the is like we call it universal morality. How to live, what are the do's and what are the don'ts. So the first two are how to live with yourself and how to live with others, like non-stealing, being truthful, and not being too crazy about just me and mine, and just flourish, working on your ego. And the other one is more like purity of mind, more contentment, and more being aware. Self-awareness is the foundation of all that. And that comes by connecting with the breath. And you do your best, but then you let go. Don't be the master of everything, because divine is using this body. So let divine figure it out. So don't be, I'm going to do this. No, just let it go. You do your best. And I tell people, don't do 99%. Do 100%+. But then leave the results up to Almighty. So let go is the other one. Then, of course, developing all these divine qualities, or I call it virtues, like non-attachment and non-violence, humbleness, fearlessness, patience, purity, steadfastness, means be strong in your will, have a commitment, not be a wishy-washy. Mm. All these are important, and then comes the breathing exercises. Breath is so important. That's our prana. So that prana has to be important part of that. Is oxygen has to go inside the body. Without prana, this body becomes dead. So we have to be aware of that. And then, of course, we have to learn how to speak, how to hear, how to eat, how to have a positive thoughts, etc. And then we sit and do meditation. And then go to contemplation, meditation, and then you get that blissfulness. Like you are sitting, and then the shower of that grace comes on your head, that blissfulness. It just comes to your, coming, just showering you. You are getting wet, and you are just sitting with that blissful state, because all the energy is just coming on you. That Almighty is gracing you.
So beautiful to listen to you, Satya.
Thank you.
And something wonderful, we just have a couple of minutes left. I am so delighted when someone goes to your website. Would you say the name of it again, please?
It's Path to Anandam, anandam.org. Path to Anandam.
Oh, okay. Path to, and then Anandam, A-N-A-N-D-A-M, Anandam. The beginning, I don't know if you did some creation for the landing page, would be the name of your website, but to me, my invitation to people would be to go to your website and spend time maybe at the beginning, not even going inside the website, but just taking time on that introductory page and watching the beauty unfold and listening to the music and taking that time to receive a blessing, because to me, there is a blessing in what is there at the beginning of your website.
I fully agree with you, because that took me 20 years to create. And what you see on that heart, that is my heart, which is pours out with that positive energy, that blissful energy, and that love, peace, anandam. So that divinity is pouring out of my heart. So that is actually my heart over there on my website.
It's beautiful. That to me, someone could just do a meditation just looking at that. And
actually, that is the symbol of meditation. That's how I teach my meditation, and my business card also has that one side of that logo, which is just basically meditate on that. So this is a meditation symbol I have.
Ah, beautiful. Well, we have completed our time, and we're just only very beginning. We could talk hours and hours. This is wonderful. I just want to say thank you, Satya, for taking time to be a guest on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me. And namaste again. And I would say Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om, peace, peace, peace to me, to this whole universe, and this body, this mind, this spirit, and God, please send this peace, love, and blissful to everyone in this world. Thank you again.
Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Let go.